everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded on November 16th, 2016. Here's episode 21 of The Great American Bash.
Do you smell what Barack has cooked?
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are 61 days away from Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2017. 65 days from from President Trump's inauguration. It's going to be an exciting time. And the most exciting time is that we're 74 days away from Royal Rumble in San Antonio, Texas at the Alamo Dome. The potential return of Shawn Michaels. I think that's the biggest news of the week.
That's the biggest story.
That's the biggest story.
Is it going to be AJ or Seth versus Michaels? It's a big story.
All right, yeah, we're 65 days away.
Yeah.
We did it, everybody.
We did it.
We woke up. We lived our lives. We're here. It's been a week.
Yeah, we wrote about it. I mean, you know, I read this thing in the Post, what Donald Trump learned about politics from pro wrestling, because I wrote it.
Yep, so that's you got a lot of good comments about that.
Yeah. Don't write about politics if your online name is Lenin's Tomb.
That's
not a political thing. That's the name. That's the cat's name in Clerks.
So, okay. Anyways.
So, 65 days until Trump is officially president. So there's a lot of work to do. It's time to staff up this government.
We got at least 10 more op-eds in us and at least about 400 more plugs for the book until then. So we have a book. It's available. Go to DonaldTrumpAsAWrestler.com. I don't know if you remember this. We registered a bunch of domains. We also have PresidentWrestler.com and WrestlerPresident.com. And you literally laughed at me when I bought those, thinking, that's so silly. Those will never come in handy.
Well, oops on me, okay?
Here's the fun part. These URLs might still be handy in 4.5 years. We'll get to that much later.
Yes,
let's do the episode. We have to timestamp this because some crazy stuff happens by the time
we post this.
It's 8:30 in the morning on Wednesday, November 16th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So, like we said, 65 days until there will be a new government. And so Trump is off to the races with his transition team. Reports are not... They're saying things are not going great. Trump has denied those reports on Twitter, which I think we should also plug Real Trump Hogan.
Okay, yeah. So we both have to follow the Donald Trump account for our jobs. We have to. We would be lost without it. It's so weird to say that.
I would be lost without Donald Trump's Twitter.
But sometimes you get really bummed out and you don't want to see things. So we made a Donald Trump Hulk Hogan bot, which just adds brother to the end of every Trump tweet.
Yeah. So or sometimes bro if there's not characters.
Which is equally great. I'm regretting not putting it in all caps, but I think that we made the right decision. It's a lot of fun, and it's just follow @ Real Trump Hogan, and it'll make your day a little bit more Hulkamaniac.
Yeah.
Hulkamania? Pastamania?
You'll be a Hulkamaniac. Yeah, so another Hulkamaniac, I assume, is white nationalist Steve Bannon. That's apolitical. That's what he is.
No, it's true. We could just refer to white nationalism as Hulkamaniacs.
He's Steve Bannon, a real Hulkamaniac. Wink, wink, if you know what I mean. He after running the campaign for 3 months, shockingly, he's going to be in the administration.
We talked about this when this happened in August.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think it's really, you know, it's not a great sign when you have a white nationalist at the upper rungs of power. But, you know, he's doing good things. He's bringing people together. He united both the Anti-Defamation League and the Council on American Islamic Relations both denounced him. So it's like, if we're going to somehow solve, like, Israel-Palestine because of this, that'd be great. But otherwise, it's a moment where people are trying to organize around it. This is a test balloon. This is Trump and the administration, the incoming administration going, let's see what we can get away with, right?
I would respectfully disagree that it's not just the Trump administration go, let's see what we can get away with, and more a consistent honoring people that have been loyal to them, like he's been doing his entire career, testing no one. He's not really up for tests. Pretty much, if you've never said a bad word about him, you're in his good graces. That's what this is.
Yeah, as long as you apologize.
I can't agree with you on that.
Okay.
Even if you apologize, that doesn't matter.
No, I mean, he had the guys, they all, you know, if they grovel, he lets them back in the sphere. Christie, you know, like...
Okay, yeah, I concede that point. Yeah. You're right on that point, but... Okay, do you remember the Skittles meme in September?
Yeah.
Where do you think the Trump kids got that, people?
Yeah. This is Breitbart.
This is not new. I mean, this is news technically, but it shouldn't be that shocking. It's not like it was in the distant. It was in September. No, it was 2 months ago. Yeah. And everyone was mad. You forgot why you were mad 2 months ago?
Yeah.
I think we're really going to change things, people. Come on.
I know.
Regardless of what side you're on, pay attention to at least the most recent 3 month cycle. This shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah. I think the only difference maybe is now there's actually a time when a campaign's running. There's not going to be any like political movement to, you know, you can bring attention to stuff, but you're not going to like petition your congressman to get a guy off the staff. But now they're trying that.
No,
now
but
you
got to
get people on the record.
How many? Okay.
It's a small nuance. Mostly I'm with you too. It's like, I'm not shocked by it. There's no reason to be shocked. He's had his ear for 3 months.
I think this is where a lot of the people that watch Fox News and say, hey, protesters, shut up. And a lot of protesters like, listen to this. You didn't pay attention. And this is what happened. You didn't mobilize people. You didn't try to get the vote out, and you lost, and now this is what's happened. This shouldn't be surprising. You should have been mobilized since, I don't know, the start?
Yeah.
That's why it's a little bit frustrating, because regardless of the side of the aisle you're on, this is not news.
Yeah.
No
one
should be
shocked. It's almost like there should have been a one day the nation could have come together and made a decision about if we want white nationalists in the government. And we just had it. It was my birthday. It was not a great birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So, you know, Steve Bannon, you know, he's done all these. People are now cherry picking. Not cherry picking, because it's not cherry picking. They're just picking headlines from Breitbart that are anti-Semitic and racist, xenophobic, misogynistic. And, you know, none of those things cost him his job there. They didn't cost him his job in the Trump administration, much like when one of our favorite heel champions of recent times, JBL, was in Germany. And this is, I think, like 2004. The middle of the decade, and he was goosed up and he gets some cheap heat.
Which we need to point out is illegal.
Yes.
He was also doing the Heil Hitler sign.
Yeah, you can't do any of that in Germany.
Unless you're a fake billionaire who's actually a millionaire from Texas shooting people on the border. That's a SmackDown storyline. Congratulations, SmackDown, you did it. So we like to bring up the JBL thing every single week because it seems so shocking.
Yeah.
And it's reality now.
And it didn't cost him his job at WWE or at Fox Business.
And this isn't like the 90s or the 80s.
When you could really just goose step all you wanted.
This is like, I'd say, the middle of PC culture. This is
sure.
Post 9/11 world. Let's be cool. Nope.
No.
So let's also, now we'll go the other end for the people that were, before we defended Fox News, now we will go against them. Stop complaining about PC culture. This has all happened during PC culture. That's not a thing. Yeah.
Nothing stopped. So I think we can consistently look to JBL for guidance during this time. Like we said, the Trump's announcement speech last summer was basically a JBL promo.
Yeah.
And when JBL was the champion with his suit and his white hat, he had a stable, so like a four horseman, a much lower on the totem pole, four horsemen. They were called the Cabinet. He had the co-secretaries of defense, the Basham brothers. He had a chief of staff named Orlando Jordan, and they helped protect his belt, protect the presidency. Trump's also going to have a cabinet, still figuring out who's in it. He says he only knows the finalists because this is an episode of The Apprentice. One person who's been rumored is Linda McMahon for Commerce Secretary or something in Commerce, possibly an ambassadorship. But yeah, the wife of the CEO and owner of the WWE will be in the cabinet, which would be succession planning. It could be that show with Kiefer Sutherland.
What's fun about this is you will be able to, you could hear Linda McMahon on this show when I asked her about future President Trump.
Yeah. Good friend.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's, I think when people saw that in like days after the election, you know, like electing the guy from the WWE Hall of Fame, I think that was the first cracking when people went, maybe they're onto something. And then the Linda McMahon thing, even, you know, reputable Washington Post reporters were posting it. So, you know, like, I think there's something to it. And then there was another story this week that also got people talking about this intersection of politics and pro wrestling, which was when the people's sexiest man alive, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, once again did not take running for president in 2020 or other election years off the table. And I mean, if you want to beat a heel, you need the biggest face.
This is great. This might be... Hillary Clinton wasn't able to get Republicans to cross party lines. Mm-hmm. I do think that Dwayne The Rock Johnson will get Dems to cross party lines. Because Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a Republican.
So this is where we differ. Because I think he would run... If he runs in 2020, he's not going to, like, primary him.
He might primary him.
I don't know. I don't think he's that. I think he sees...
You can't... Don't tell me you know what The Rock's going to do. That's just the fun part about The Rock.
Yeah.
Whatever he's going to sell the most Under Armour backpacks... And subscriptions to HBO to watch Ballers and subscriptions to the WWE Network. That's what The Rock is going to do.
So would he... You got to get through primaries either way, but do you want to try to primary a sitting president and then...
Yeah.
Go against Democrat? Or do you want to like try to clear the field of Democrats and then just go against the... I'm assuming will be, after 4 years, a very unpopular sitting president.
I've already bet that Trump will be our next three-term president, so I'm not going to bet against that.
Sure.
I think that... Okay, this is what happens. Dwayne The Rock Johnson runs against Donald Trump in the Republican primaries,
okay.
Wins. Trump runs as either a write-in candidate or an independent. And the Dems run like Cory Booker or something. And they split the ticket, or they split the popular vote. Dwayne The Rock Johnson wins heavily the popular vote, but Trump swerves them all and figures out a way to maintain the belt and keep the title. And then there'll be a blow-off. In another election cycle, Dwayne The Rock Johnson will lose again. This time, Trump will have the Republican backing, but he'll also swerve people and run for a third term.
Okay, well, you mark it down. November 16, 2016, you've predicted the darkest future. You know, and that's if we make it all the way there. Trump's also, which he disputes, but you basically have to say that anytime there's something reported about Donald Trump that he doesn't like. He's going to dispute it, probably on Twitter. He does dispute that he's looking to give his kids security clearance. But there's many reports that he's looking to move on with that and have his closest advisors, who are his kids, have security clearance. And they were touring the West Wing. And Jared Kushner, who was one of his chief advisors, that's Ivanka.
We always screw this up.
So does he. just which one does he scream out in the middle of the night? Who, you know, was also one of his key advisors, runs the New York Observer, I believe. He was asking Obama's staff as they toured the West Wing, how many of those people would remain in the next administration? Almost all of them, except for like the guy that opens the door, will be gone because they're political appointees. And they have to hire all new people, it turns out. And so that's a guy who really knows what's going on. He's an advisor to the president. He's, you know, he's the president's son-in-law, and that gives you access. So there's actually a really great parallel here. Vince McMahon, his daughter is also one of his key advisors. I mean, she has the equivalent to security clearance in WWE, and her husband is Triple H, Paul Levesque. And you know, this just reminded me of this one guy that we like to look to for guidance other than JBL, and that'd be CM Punk. So here's what he said about almost this situation.
And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
Yeah, so I mean, that's from the pipe bomb, and that's you know...
That is the start of the reality era.
Yes.
And if anything, I feel like this is a continuation of the reality era.
Yeah.
The reason why that pipe bomb, that promo was so important is it broke kayfabe for some parts of kayfabe. And it took the backstage realities and put them front and center into storylines. And that's what made it so good. That happened in an election for the first time ever. Do you go backwards? I don't think you can.
Yeah, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Exactly. So what's the next logical step? The WWE still hasn't figured it out. It's really tough when you have an undead wizard as still the only kayfabe character.
Right.
But he's got his ex-wife tattooed across his neck. But no one talks about that. But any other storyline...
Well, Bray Wyatt teleports, but also sometimes he wears a blue SmackDown t-shirt.
Yeah, so like they're trying to figure out who they are, and I think that's exactly what's going on with the Trump administration.
Well, you figure... This is the thing. This is everyone who said, oh... He won the primary. He'll pivot. Didn't happen. All right. It's almost election time. He'll pivot. He didn't. He won the election. Now he's got to worry about the administration. He'll pivot. And it's like, well, we clearly that's not happening. He's still tweeting. He's still. I think we're going to see that. This is where does the rest of the political universe do they finally get hip to this? What's like this post-truth, like, you know, kayfabe reality breaking presidency?
So. One of the reasons why the Washington Post piece that you wrote is good is because you compare Clinton to Reigns, which we've done on this show many times, and Trump to Flair. Mm-hmm. Flair was one of the best guys to bring in outside storylines into the wrestling ring. He kind of floated above the 80s cartoony shtock, you know, schlock. That was really great about him. In our CQ roll call piece, which we did an interview with them right before the first debate, and I said Hillary needs to be like Piper. Yeah. And then she clearly wasn't like Piper. She was like a real smart lady. And I was like, oh, I was wrong because she clearly won the debate. Guess what? I wasn't wrong. She should have been like Piper because that's how you got to play with it. You got to smash a fucking coconut on somebody's skull to really get to them. You need to go at their level. And I don't understand why Democrats or even other Republicans can't understand this. You are not going to play in the same field, and he's not going to go to your field. You have to go to his field. That's how this works.
So, you know, it's talking about how we're in this reality era. It is still uncomfortable of, like, kayfabe breaking. What's a work? What's a shoot? Like, what's the reality of this? The WWE is having, you know, they're still playing in this and having a little trouble with it. We just, on a Monday night, after the first programming post-election, they had a state of the WWE universe. It clearly was a State of the Union ripoff. It used like CNN style graphics, and it was like a debate between Team Red and Team Blue. So, I mean, come on.
There was not one mention of the presidential election or any election.
Mm-hmm.
There was absolutely no reason to call it State of the WWE Universe. They've been told not to talk. Vince McMahon told the wrestlers and the talent not to talk about the election and give up personal beliefs. Yet they're trying to cash in on a network-only special called the State of the WWE Universe. What's the point?
Well, they want to get as close to the line as they can. Okay, so you want to go... So also, last week, they did a 60-minute interview, and like Ivanka is out there like shilling her bracelets or whatever. So it's like, yeah, like they can kind of admit, like, yeah, we're totally like con men, and we're going to use this to our benefit of having the Trump name now is a brand. It's a presidential brand. So we can sell things at that level. And like WWE knows, like, okay, there's an election. We're not going to talk about it because we're not going to, you know, we're not going to marginalize half our fan base.
That being said, this is the first election they're not talking about.
Right. Well, it's the first one that they've been so, this is the only one they've given to a, like a Trump foundation. They've never given to a thing that was called out in the Washington Post as basically being how he would self-deal and break the law. I think they're smarter than to associate themselves.
I'm not disagreeing whatsoever, but it's still an interesting fact that no one's bringing up.
Yes.
It's not like they're an apolitical organization.
Right.
They've always been more Republican than Democrat, and they've always written and talked about elections. In the 2008 WWE Magazine, which we found, there's an entire spread about which wrestler is going to vote for whom.
Yeah.
Two Democrats and two Republicans. Like, this is not... They're intentionally staying away for the first time, and I thought that once someone was elected, they would break.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Well, we'll see. I mean, this is kind of gets to that Hulk Hogan thing, too. I think they still know that they're probably okay. Like, Hogan kind of getting back into programming and rumors about him coming back, which he squashed. But They know that they probably can get away with it, but I think it's a wait and see on a lot of things to see how some of this shakes out. Even with a presidential election, there's still protests. There's still, you know, so I think they're still playing it safe. I don't think I don't think that we won't see President Trump at Monday Night Raw or at WrestleMania.
Yeah, my guess is he's at Mania this year.
Yeah.
At least the first one.
Yeah, I think there's, they probably don't have much to lose there. But yeah, so they had this half hour State of the WWE Universe special. You've got the on screen slash some of them are real behind the scenes figures, and this is the kind of blending of the work and shoot stuff. You got Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon from Raw. You got Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon from SmackDown, and they're all kind of on different scripts, which was really interesting to see. And it kind of exposed a lot of the stuff of like what's actually happening. And this is where the fun stuff, especially for like kind of smart fans, smarky fans for us, of like the pipe bomb. It was like, well, they're all on there. They're on the show that's being broadcast live. Like, they're not just going to go and like shoot themselves in the foot. They're saying stuff that's kind of approved.
And while you say that, you have to remember two of these guys have been heavily concussed.
Yes.
And that kind of plays into this.
Yeah, and because Mick Foley, he definitely seems like not as sharp as he once was. And I don't think that's a, you know, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, and this guy's a writer. He's written multiple New York Times bestsellers. He does stand-up. He should know how to talk fluently. Yeah.
Right.
Without breaking down into tears every 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then you have Daniel Bryan, who was forced to retire because of his brain injuries, and is still a very sore subject that they are using in storylines, but can't really do anything with, because he literally is not allowed to wrestle for their company. And then you have Shane, who's kind of back, and also he was making reference to like, oh, the deck's been stacked against us by you. Well, not by you, someone above you, which is Vince. So he's kind of playing up that angle still. And then Stephanie is doing a thing completely different, which is she is totally kayfabe. She is totally on brand, which her kayfabe also includes like being able to, she can be the villain, but also talk about Connor's cure and talk about like the charity stuff. So she's constantly trying to get this discussion back on track, while Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley are like arguing about who wanted to wrestle more, who had worse concussions. Daniel Bryan's talking about like, there's a generational divide, you have to step aside, baby boomers. And he's like, hey, well, Mick, last time you had this job, you left and went to TNA. At which point Stephanie's like, well, let's talk about Survivor Series, because they don't want to talk about their competition. So it's very, this stuff, and we've been talking about Talking Smack, because it's these things where they are embracing the reality era the most, where they're using the perceived knowledge of backstage stuff to further storylines.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And for someone that doesn't care about the physical stuff, or the people that are like, oh, it's fake, we know.
Yeah.
Relax. Not all of this is fake. This is where stuff comes through, and this is where it's really fascinating. And this is where we found out Daniel Bryan voted for Jill Stein.
Yeah. This is where, you get people exposing their truth about their real-life relationships.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah. And so all this stuff, while they're definitely trying to be cute with a State of the Union type thing, this is all to promote their next big pay-per-view on Sunday, Survivor Series.
All right, hear me out here. Talking Smack is great because it satisfies people like us, and it gives us a reason to watch the next one. Raw is Raw. It doesn't matter, really. The whole point of this, though, is to sell people on Survivor Series. You can only watch the State of the WWE Network, though, if you have the network.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point in doing an extra show to promote a pay-per-view that you already are going to get because you have the network?
So this is everything's a bank shot, and I think this is still where people are figuring things out. And one of the things we predicted about the election that we probably won't see is a Trump TV network.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, is a lot of the stuff they're doing, it's like, what metric? I mean, we both have worked for sites that care about traffic. Like, a lot of it is like, well, do you need traffic? Do you need more tweets? Do you need more social? They're trying to figure out, do we need more hours of programming? I mean, that's what they're doing. They're adding, like, Talking Smack, all this stuff that's existing. We'll get to something else they're adding to their programming.
Well, hear me out. If I'm head of content for that network, what I want to do is I want to have my main event on WWE Network, and I'm going to put the last half hour of SmackDown or Raw is the State of the Union.
Right.
And I think that's a fascinating way to catch people's attention.
Yeah.
And maybe make them subscribe to the network. Because if I don't have that network, and if I see this on USA, I now really want that network, because it's totally different, and I'm still going to see all the same wrestling I saw for the last 2.5 hours or 1.5 hours. Why not do that?
Yeah. Well,
that's a pointless hypothetical. I know that.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see which of these things go to what outlet. You know, what match do we get for free on TV? Which one do we have to pay for on the network? But Survivor Series on Sunday in Toronto, and they got, you know, they're doing this, the brands Team Red versus Team Blue, which we don't talk about enough, as like that came up, the Team Red and Team Blue thing really came, that was during Bush? I'm trying to think when the first brand split and like when that would have been, because that's how we've This is not a red America, not a blue America. And they clearly, I mean, they, those shows and colors exist, and they're not political, but they, once again, they kind of took a thing that exists in culture and just made it for their own purposes.
Well, Obama made it, the red versus blue thing, a big deal in 2004. Yeah. So,
it's all like, you know, around the same time. But anyway, so Survivor Series, we can run down the card because there's interesting things here that play on both of these things we're talking about. So the main event is Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg. This is a rematch of a WrestleMania.
So a guy
match.
That's almost 40 versus a guy that's almost 50.
Yes.
Both past their prime. One has a recent steroid problem. One has a problem with all wrestling for the last ever. This is going to be a horrible match.
Yes.
And it got booed out of the Madison Square Garden in WrestleMania 20.
Right. And that was because both guys, and that was WrestleMania 20, Where It All Begins Again was the tagline. And that was because everybody in the audience knew that both guys were out of the company the next day. And it didn't matter. And Stone Cold was the ref. And they just want to see Stone Cold, you know,
give him stunners.
So, but the thing is, on this one, everyone kind of understands that Goldberg's probably out of the company. This was just to sell the video game, which Goldberg appears on, which Brock is the cover of. They made this match. They said, oh, it's not going to happen. But then they wanted to sell the video game. So it's happening. And they're basically saying, this is a match you should only be able to get in a video game, but now you can see it in real life.
Oh, really? We should talk about this really quick. The catchphrase of the entire card is, when fantasy warfare becomes real.
Yeah.
That's not, this is what? So this is brilliant. I love the tagline. This is Make America Great Again. Mm-hmm. Okay, A, in America is never great unless you're a straight white man. This is still fantasy warfare. It's still not real. That's the same
fantasy
idea. It's brilliant. Yeah. Who is ever doing the marketing for these two companies is brilliant.
Yeah, I like that it's also like fantasy warfare. Like, this match that could only happen in a video game we're trying to sell. Oh, also, it's actually happening. So, like, why buy the video? The whole premise of it is you can only do this in the video game. But anyway, so this match is happening. The important thing is that Brock Lesnar is not leaving the company to go try to be a Minnesota Viking or a UFC fighter at this point. It can be assumed he's probably going to beat Goldberg to get the rub and keep being this monster. That
also, Brock can't go back to UFC for a minute because of the steroid violation.
The steroid thing, which
also,
we're still trying to figure out.
By the time he's physically able to go back to UFC, he'll be 40.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, and he's not going to be able to get the special dispensation he got last time. That was a thing that only happened because that card fell apart when Conor McGregor went off of it, and then when John Jones.
This all relates. We promise we'll get back to it.
We'll get it all. All the, you know, our chalkboard with all the things connected. But also at WrestleMania 20, Jesse the Body Ventura, Jesse the Mind Ventura,
recent former governor, then current Harvard fellow Jesse Ventura.
Yes, he went down and he made his return to WWE. Hadn't been there for years because of a lawsuit, and he went down and interviewed a good friend of his, like he would do in the old days. And he went down to the front row and interviewed Donald Trump.
And that's what you've heard in the intro of this show, every single episode. That's from WrestleMania 20 in Madison Square Garden, New York. Madison Square Garden, New York, is where a lot of things happen.
Yeah, and you can. We have a chapter about Trump and Ventura's kind of intertwined relationship that goes back to, yes, around then, but also it's the 2000
mostly
election.
Mostly the 80s, actually.
80s, yeah, but then the fact of the third party stuff, how his run kind of foretold a lot of this stuff.
Trump teased running since 88, but I think we came to a consensus that the year 2000 was the closest he came.
That was the closest to the real thing.
Exactly.
So we get into all that and the kind of internecine
warfare.
It's
when fantasy warfare became real is 2016. For a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Also on this card, so the Survivor Series traditionally has been 5-on-5 tag elimination tag matches. So they're doing three variations of that. They're doing a men's one with Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins on Raw versus AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Shane McMahon, and their mascot James Ellsworth. They had a brawl and a promo off on Monday that was a lot of fun because AJ Styles said that KO is still on Jericho's sugar tit.
Listen.
Which is great.
I like all these guys. I think they're... Well, that's not true. I like most of these guys. I think they're all fantastic.
Who don't you like in this?
I don't like Randy Orton. I've never liked Randy Orton.
I mean, the RKO, like the Rollins...
I don't care.
Two manias ago. Come
yeah,
on.
I agree. But that's because Rollins risked his life. So, no. I also don't like Rollins because of the whole white supremacy thing. So...
He dated a neo-Nazi one time. Haven't the dick pics been enough to get you
also,
back on
board? Also, he's a horrible interviewer.
Yeah.
So, come on.
Fair. Okay.
Come on. If I could interview Jericho or Seth Rollins, who do I want to interview?
I mean, Jericho has been saying this.
Jericho got a list over.
He got a list over. There's a he's been, since he's come back and really embraced the heel thing, he's been saying he's the gift of Jericho. Drink it in, man.
He's the best.
He gave on Raw, the only thing that I actually watched was, even though I edited it into 3 minutes, was he gave Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins the scarf of Jericho and said, try it on, man. He's amazing.
Okay, so if a listener or a friend, well, I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you're listening to this. That's how yours work. If you could explain to me or point me to an article of why I should care about brand supremacy, send it my way.
Okay, cricket. Can we add like a crickets noise, like a file not found noise? Because like it doesn't matter.
Okay.
They've made this meta storyline. It didn't work the last time. It doesn't
okay,
work
because like you said, this is a good card.
Yeah.
But I don't care in any way.
Right. I mean, the thing is, it's just going to be like a spot fest. It's like, how do we get like...
I felt like I was watching a video game trailer on Monday night.
Fantasy Warfare.
Exactly.
I mean, this is like, hey, you can take like 10 guys and like 5 versus 5. What's the better match? And like, and now we have it all other stakes because on last night, Tuesday, SmackDown, the 900th episode of SmackDown, The Undertaker showed up. And he basically said two... He said a couple things. He said, one, he'll no longer be defined by WrestleMania. He said he's back. He's taking souls and digging holes. And if the SmackDown side loses, there's going to be hell to pay, and they'll be resting in peace.
Okay, so what that means is if they lose, then the Undertaker's coming back to SmackDown?
No, so when they lose.
When they lose, the Undertaker's coming back to SmackDown.
Whoever costs them the match will have a feud with Taker, probably.
Okay, so...
It's not going to be fucking James Ellsworth.
No, okay, I get that. Hold on. Number one, he's the mascot. Know your role. Yeah. Number two, so if you're a fan, you want to see The Undertaker.
Yeah.
So now you're rooting for SmackDown to lose, but you're supposed to be rooting for them to win.
But we just did this in WrestleMania.
Do you see my point, though?
Of course.
Okay.
So we did this in WrestleMania where we wanted, if Undertaker had lost, he would have to retire. But if Shane won in that case, he would get like to take over one of the shows, which he ended up doing. But he got to take a show. Undertaker won. None of it matters. So it'll be a good match. They'll also have a women's 5-on-5 match. Mm-hmm. And this was really interesting on SmackDown. I mean, other than betraying some of their characters, they did... they had a 10 or 12 women having a schmoz, having like a brawl, where it wasn't in cost... It wasn't in like... They're Santa's little helpers, or they're in bra and panties, or they're hitting each other with pillows. So this is actually like a good... It's progressing. It progressed so much that Nikki Bella got one of her veneers knocked out. So, but it's Charlotte, Bayley, Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, Sasha Banks versus SmackDown's Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Naomi. That should be good. And they've also got like mascot / coaches. They've got Dana mm-hmm. Brooke and Natalya who also get involved. So it's going to be 12 women and it'll be a really good match.
And every single one, even Alicia Fox, has something to offer.
Yeah, Alicia Fox's Tilt-A-Whirl backbreaker is really good, and so is her Northern Lights suplex. So there you go.
It's so weird.
Wrestling.
It's so weird. The women's card, I think, is slightly better.
I mean, it's interesting, because it's funny how when the draft happened, and we had done a fantasy draft, when we did our own fantasy warfare with Norm and booked this stuff, like the SmackDown roster looked really thin. And it still is thin in some parts, but the depth of it is kind of interesting, where... Like the women on Raw, it's basically Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley, and then like a bunch of other people. Whereas everybody on SmackDown.
Who do you think is a deeper bench? SmackDown Live or the Democratic Party?
SmackDown Live.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So that Team Blue is doing better than the other Team Blue,
yes,
is what you're saying.
That's why I like Team Blue, SmackDown. Yeah, it's the better show. It's the A show. So then they're doing a Survivor Series 10-on-10 tag team match clusterfuck. I'm not even listing who's in it. It's any tag team you
care
about.
It's actually 11-on-10 because the New Day is there and there are three of them.
I know. And they're still heels, but...
Are the New Day technically heels right now?
They still cheat.
They're great.
Remember, I mean, they didn't lose the belt at the last pay-per-view because Kofi cheated.
I don't care.
Anyway, I'm glad they stay true to that. But yeah, all the tag teams will fight. That'll be a fun, like, spot fest. There's going to be some crazy shit. It's going to have a New Day and a Realest Guys in the Room promo. Like, it's going to be good. It's going to have Brizongo as hot cops. Like,
They're not in it.
Yeah, they are. Brizongo is in it. They made it. That was the whole thing on SmackDown.
Oh, they did make it. They're so good right now.
Yeah, so this is like so in the weeds, but Brizongo, which is the tag team of Tyler Breeze, whose gimmick is he's a supermodel, basically Zoolander, and Fandango, who's a ballroom dancer, basically when Dancing with the Stars was on. And They're both kind of
No, it's still on.
No, I know, but when it first came on and it was...
It's still like one of the highest rated shows. But didn't Jericho go on it?
Yeah, when that's Punk's thing. It's like when you were Dancing with the Stars, I was Swimming Sharks. So
didn't former governor of Texas Rick Perry go on it?
He doesn't remember. He was pretty high. but Fandango and Tyler Breeze have ended up in this. Basically, Zoolander and Hansel, like, relationship. It's like... sort of, you know, occasionally, like, accidentally, you know, like, ambiguously gay duo type stuff. But now their new gimmick is that they wear, like, hot cops uniforms, and they're the fashion police, and they're throwing tickets to people that say that they're Uggos.
It's so great.
And there was a great bit on SmackDown. They were in Glasgow, and JBL was our favorite, who's an announcer.
I want to make it very clear, when Chris says that, he's Jay Kane, because he is the neo-Nazi guy. So he's our favorite in storyline, but in reality, not our favorite.
What, JBL?
We're not,
he's not really a neo-Nazi. He was trying to get cheap.
Still,
heat. He's
still
a good heel.
I agree with that. I'm just saying, we are not an alt-right pod, to my knowledge.
Okay.
And I can say for sure, 100%, not I personally, Brandon Weatherby, not a Nazi and or neo-Nazi.
Okay, well, thank you for putting that out.
If you don't want to put that out there.
I'll go for it too, but I'm just saying, JBL's great, but JBL was wearing a kilt.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
And the suit jacket, you know, the formal kilt. And he was like, hey, guys, what do you think of my outfit? And they gave him tickets for being ugly, which is great. And his look on his face, like they broke his heart, was amazing. So the tag team match will be fun. Then we have a match for the Intercontinental Belt between our new and once in future and past Intercontinental Champion.
Now then forever champ.
Then now forever, The Miz, who beat Dolph by cheating and having another great show-stealing match last night. He's the heel champion again. This is a match that's basically a proxy because he can't face Daniel Bryan because of all those concussions against Sami Zayn, where it's unclear where the belt... If the belt goes to the show, if Sammy then comes to SmackDown,
no,
it's unclear.
The belt goes to the show.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. So
at least I think so. You're right. It's also not clear.
Either way, it's going to be a great match because you have a pure heel and a pure babyface. It's much better than the Ziggler Zayn we would have got. And then an interesting match, I think the one with actually the only stakes, the fake stakes, because we know how it's going to end, is Cruiserweight Champion, the Brian Kendrick versus Kalisto for the Cruiserweight title and division. So currently the Cruiserweights are only on, they're exclusive to Raw. The Cruiserweights are guys who are 205 pounds or less. They're supposed to be, it's a different style. It's supposed to be a little faster, a little more high flying, a little more striking. And they're currently kind of like spinning their wheels on Raw. They've only had one real storyline. If Kalisto wins, the division will all come to SmackDown. And we know that's happening because they've already announced that they're doing a show called 205 Live. Which is the weight limit, not an area code. And it'll be live on the network after SmackDown. So if you go to a SmackDown taping, you'll get a dark match, you'll get main event, you get 2 hours of SmackDown live, you get an hour of 205 live.
So does this
SmackDown's coming to DC, so we should probably go to this.
Does that mean Talking Smack is over?
I think they're going to still, you can still tape it and then just show it at 11:30 or 11.
Okay.
Right? Because like 10
to
11.
That's all I care.
It'll be the same, it'll be like, after Raw.
But I don't watch Raw live.
I know, but it'll be, so it's going to be a long couple nights.
I thought everything was supposed to be for me.
Yeah, you're a straight white man, so yeah. So the Cruiserweight division, that's going to be interesting to see how they do that with having a whole hour that's just
I think
network.
We went heavy on wrestling this week because we talked very little about wrestling last week.
Yeah, because like wrestling is a thing that doesn't make you ashamed for your nation.
No.
No, it does. It does.
It does.
Make you ashamed.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's the same.
The entire Attitude Era.
So if I could do one last thing that's not about wrestling.
No, this is what I wanted to get to.
Okay. So the Cruiserweight division, guys for 205 pounds or less. In the past, it was not a real weight class, but now apparently they are kind of enforcing the weight. But anyway, weight classes. If you go across to a similar thing to WWE, you get to the UFC. They have featherweights, they have lightweights, and both of those championship belts belong to one man right now. It's the first time anyone's ever held two belts at the same time, two weight classes, and that's Conor McGregor. Triple H was at the UFC fight at 205, Madison Square Garden. He's very much would like to get Conor McGregor involved. They did this a few years ago with Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. They've talked about her coming. Well, when she comes back, and depending what happens with the rest of her UFC career, she could very much be in WWE.
Ronda's already teased that she's nearing the end of her run, so it's inevitable.
And what's her nickname?
Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, which she asked for permission, I believe.
From Rowdy Piper.
Yes.
The greatest wrestler of all time.
And he continues to have influence because McGregor won the lightweight belt, immediately asked what in his thick accent,
his like Irish brogue accent, brogue, his Sheamus
like,
accent.
Where the fuck is my other belt? You cheap motherfuckers! You're worth $4.2 billion. But he got his two belts, and that he also does a Vince strut. Have you ever seen him do a strut?
He does the Vince strut.
Yeah, he throws his arms out. It's very distinct. And then you know he's in the ring with Joe Rogan, and he gave a promo.
I've spent a lot of time, Joe, slating everybody in the company. Backstage, I'm starting fights off everybody. I've ridiculed everyone on the roster. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the he wants.
So he cut a promo, which he continues to do. He's done the whole time. He's clearly influenced by wrestling. He picked a fight with wrestling earlier this year.
I know
he
that
really understands
sounds,
wrestling.
Chris sounds crazy because, like, how could you pick a fight with wrestling? No, he did. He did pick a fight with wrestling, the idea of wrestling. He called out everyone.
Yeah, he said he'd knock any of them out, even though, like, he's 5'6", 170.
But to be fair, there's really only one guy in the entire car that could legitimately hurt Conor McGregor. That's it.
Who?
Brock Lesnar.
Okay, well,
that's
I
it.
Mean, yeah.
Could you name any other person?
Well, Sin Cara keeps knocking people out backstage.
Sure, but... yeah. In a ring,
he's the star of that new show on USA called Shooter.
Randy Orton?
That's a real good wrestling joke, and I'm because he's a shoot fighter. Get it? Okay.
That's not a really good.
So
wrestling
McGregor
joke.
Is 5'6" and 170. So I mean, but yet skill wise, yeah,
he's not 170. He's 5'6". McGregor's not 170.
Oh no, no,
he's got to be under 155. If he 155,
but yeah, well, you know what it is? He fought at 170 against Diaz in the welter. So. Yeah, so he's a small guy, but he can knock you the fuck out. And yeah, he's just great. And the fake apology is that's not the first time that that's happened in wrestling. It won't be the last, but it's a classic one. And you've already referenced it in the show, so I think I don't know if we play it.
No, we shouldn't play it because it's too long.
It's too long.
The whole thing is Roddy Piper had a show called Piper's Pit, and it's all these like fake talk shows you see within the show. It all stems from this. It all stems from Roddy Piper. Before this, it would just be an announcer talking to a guy on the side of the ring in front of a live crowd, and that's great, and you should watch those old Ric Flair promos. But Piper took it to a whole new level, and Piper had, was it Snuka?
Yeah.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka on, and he said, real-life murderer, and in real life, Roddy Piper was really racist, and he brought Snuka on to apologize for his behavior and to apologize for his racist comments. And what did he do instead? He smashed his skull open with a real-life coconut. And Jimmy Snuka Snooker did not know this was coming and got concussed by a real-life villain. That's what McGregor is doing. All of this stems back from to Piper. It's all the, everything repeats itself in the same way that we knew that Donald Trump was going to win this ticket. We also are convinced that Dwayne The Rock Johnson, if he wants it, the presidency is his.
So it's where it all begins again.
Now, then, forever.